You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 4. We started on this Sunday, and I just want to kind of use that as a springboard, go back to it, really didn't get through with it, about ministering to others, ministering to others. Everybody say, to others. You know, that's really what we're about. We're about ministering to others. You know, of course, God loves me and God cares about my needs and what's going on in my life, and He's very, very concerned about you. He's got every hair on your head counted. Are you kidding? Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. He is crazy about you. He loves you. Jesus came for you. Amen? But after that takes place in our life, we realize that, become a Christian, then we need to get involved in the kingdom. Get involved in our purpose and our vision and our ministry. All of us have a ministry. You know, all of us are still here. How many of you know that? If everybody's here, raise your hand. Whoever's here, raise your hand. Okay. We're still here. So why is that? If heaven is our home, and to live with Jesus forever is our goal and our destiny, and it is, then why are we still here? Well, we're here to make a difference.
That's right. Amen.
We're here to shine our lights, you know. That doesn't mean we're going to knock on every door and grab every person, tell them about Jesus. No, I'm just saying we're here to live our life as a light, as an example, to share love, to advance the kingdom, to pray for people, sure, to tell people about Jesus. Yeah, that's part of it. But it's our lives lived for Him. And we ought to continually ask ourselves, what can I do, you know, to be a better witness, to be a better light, to be a better example? How can I love more? How can I be kinder?
Amen.
Gets quiet in here when you start talking like this. How can I be a better example?
Yeah.
Hello. Amen. How can I put others first instead of me first? Well, how can I go through life and not just keep demanding my own way, you know? Help other people. And when you look at Jesus and the ministry that He had, you know, He wasn't just going around trying to get everybody to worship Him. Are you with me? And although He is to be worshipped, stay with me. And He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In fact, the devils knew that more than anybody else. They knew that He was the Christ, the Son of God. They didn't quite understand who He was as a man, the Son of Man, but they did know He was the Son of God. And, you know, He wasn't interested in everybody worshiping right then. I mean, He took worship, He accepted and received it. But He was trying to help people and eventually die for their sins. He came to serve. Everybody say serve. And that's really what we're about. See, we are here to serve. This is a service. This is a time of serving. We serve Him by coming here. We serve God by coming to church, a church service. That's where the word service came from. When you go in the military, you go into the service, they call it, military service. You serve your country, see. It's about doing things that benefit others. That's what service is about. That's what serve means. And so Jesus, when He started His ministry, just like we would get up and we gave a little mission statement there and a synopsis and a nutshell of our vision, what we're about, you know, not all the things we believe, but what is our mission? What are we trying to do here? A lot of people go to church, they could tell you what maybe they believe in that church, but they don't really know what the church is about. They don't really know what they're about. You understand the distinction I'm making here? There's a distinction between, say, I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe He rose again. I believe that His blood shed was washed my sins away, and I'm trusting in that. That's what I believe. I believe that. I believe in Jesus. But I have a mission also as a believer.
Amen.
See, I have a ministry as a believer. And that could, you know, play out in all kinds of ways. I mean, we can serve in all kinds of ways. We can minister in all kinds of ways. As we're having church right now, here we are in the auditorium with adults. Well, the youth have a service going on right now. And there's Tom and Melissa up there serving that vein. And Wendy and Cher are helping with that. Then there's the children's church that's going on right now. I guess there's Charity up there. Charity and Jennifer up there right now. They rotate, so I'm just trying to remember who. We have a lot. In fact, who works in the children's church? Stand up if you work in the children's church. Okay, see, we have a lot of people working in the children's church, and they rotate. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for the way you serve. So that goes on all the time. Sunday mornings when you come in here, there's three children's churches going on. Think about it. at 9:30, there's classes for all ages. There's people that teach classes. And then there's nurseries going on right now. In fact, right now, who's in the nursery right now?
Mindy Pruitt
and
Marilyn.
And today's Mindy's birthday. If you're listening, Mindy, everybody say happy birthday. Happy birthday. Mindy, yeah, okay. Tell her that when you leave. You've got ushers. You've got people on the cameras. I mean, there's so many ways to serve. Then behind the scenes, there's things going on all the time. There's Donna Gale that does, she's not here tonight, but she does the prayer chain. She's over the prayer chain, and people call her, and she calls other people, and other people are on that prayer chain. I'm going to miss somebody if I keep going like this, but you got the orchestra. You got the choir. You got people do all kinds of things, all kinds of ways to serve. Most all I mentioned there was just in church. There's so much that goes on outside of church. Hello, there's overcomers on Monday nights, you know. Of course, that's in church, but there's an outreach. There's the seniors meeting once a month that Eva does. You know, it just goes on and on and on and on, the prison ministry. And then there's just us living for God every day.
Right.
On our jobs, in our neighborhoods, around our relatives, in Brookshire's, walking down the aisle. You know, I go to Brookshire's every once in a while. Bruno will shop, and I'll walk around politic. I talk to people, you know. I mean, I talk to all kinds of people. Sometimes I pray with people in Brookshire's, you know. I mean, that's my job. I don't know where anything is in there. Are you kidding? I couldn't find a loaf of bread. I mean, I know where the coffee is. But anyway, Brenda goes in, grabs a buggy, and then I just start looking around for somebody to talk to, you know. And that's what I do. Am I telling the truth? That's the truth, yes. But, you know, we need to be thinking about others all the time. Hello, encouraging others. It doesn't mean you grab everybody and just, you know, ask if they know Jesus. Just start a conversation with them. Start talking to them. Show you care. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care.
Right.
And then loving people and just being friendly and being interested in people. You know what? You win. You win the right to speak into their lives. You do. You start helping. See, Jesus didn't just preach. He helped people. They gave to the poor. He healed diseases. He encouraged lost people to come out of their sin. Told them they could make it. You know, and then, of course, he'd minister to them. But he won their hearts. He won their hearts before he really had a right to speak into their lives. And I think we as a church, sometimes we're protecting our doctrine. You know, we got our doctrine going. And we're forgetting about, it's all about people. If we can't win, if we don't touch people and reach people and win people, and are kind to people, and love people, and help people, they're not going to listen to it. They don't care what we have to say. Hello. I tell you, our Hallelujah Night has done more good in our community. Just from that standpoint of giving us a springboard to talk to people. I mean, people will bring it up. Oh, you go to that church. Y'all do that Hallelujah Night thing. Oh, we go every year, you know. And then you get to minister to them because you have an inroad. Are you listening to me? Now, I'm not saying don't tell people about Jesus. Of course, tell people about Jesus. But I'm saying sometimes we're not concerned enough about people. Their hurt, their pain. Hello. And people see that. They know that. Whether you really love them or not. Do you really love them? Or are you just trying to get a notch in your gun? I got another person saved. You should love people. See, Jesus loved people. He was astounded at the hardness of religion. Hated it. He hated it. In fact, he got on the Pharisees all the time about how cruel they were and wicked they were. Remember they threw that woman caught in a very act of adultery down before Jesus in John 8 chapter? And they said, the law says stone her. That was their doctrine. It did say that. There was a scripture in the Old Testament said that. What do you say? Jesus never condemned that woman. He was against adultery and so was God. But he's not against people who have committed adultery. There's hope for anybody. If you'll come to Him and you repent, God will take you. He'll receive you. And your past is over. It's over. Sin, it's wrong. We're not for sin. We're against sin. But we're for the sinner. Now, religion is hard, hard, hard on a person. It's mean. It's hard. It's cruel. Religion comes from the word religios. It's a Latin word. It means to bind up someone. See, thank God, we don't need religion. We need Jesus. And I'm not religious. I'm saved. Hello. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I love people. I'm not against people. That is the most awesome story, I think, in the Bible about the compassion of Jesus for a sinner. To me, it really just touches my heart. Every time I read that, I just, God, it just... And I heard something just this year at a convention a few months ago, and I never had heard it. I thought it was the most awesome example. Everybody talks about what he wrote in the sand, because the Bible says he knelt down and he wrote in the sand. And he said he was without sin, let him cast the first stone. And they walked out from the eldest to the youngest. And there was nobody left but Jesus and the woman. And he says, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, Lord, there are none. And he says, well, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. See, he wasn't for the sin. But I never had thought about this. Everybody said, well, what did he write in the sand? You know, somebody said, well, he must have wrote the sin of each person in the sand. Well, we don't know what he wrote. It doesn't say. It just says he wrote in the sand. But Robert Berger, a guy who has a great ministry in Peru, big ministry there, was ministering at a missions conference we were at. He said, could it be that Jesus just knelt down there because everybody was standing up looking down on that woman? Whew. Could it be it had nothing to do with the writing in the sand? He just wanted to get down there with her and catch her in the eye, let her know he didn't hate her. Instead, everybody looking down on her, there she was on the ground. Could it be that was what Jesus did? I'll tell you, I think that's what probably happened. That sits well with me. Are you with me? That sounds like Jesus. Doesn't that sound like Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's compassion. That was compassion that he showed to that woman. That's what we got to do. Amen?
Amen?
Well, Luke 4. I haven't even reviewed yet. It's still good, isn't it? Luke 4. This is Jesus' ministry. This is when he starts his ministry. When the Spirit of God comes on Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four cases and accounts, it happens. The Bible tells us here in Matthew and in Luke, we're in Luke 4, these two accounts are repeated in Matthew and in Luke, that when the Spirit of God came on him, he went into the wilderness and he was tempted of the devil. And that's where the temptation took place, where he said, after he was hungry, you know, the devil said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was quoting out of Deuteronomy, I believe, the 8th chapter. And, of course, the devil tempted him 3 times, and Jesus immediately quoted the word back to him. And then it says the devil left, and here in Luke's account, the 14th verse, it says he returned from the temptation, from the wilderness, in the power of the Spirit. And he started his ministry. He went into a church or a synagogue, a Jewish synagogue. They handed him a scroll or a roll or a book. Back then there were rolls or scrolls. They didn't have books with pages. And it says he opened it. In other words, he rolled it out. And he found the place where it was written. It's very specific the way it says here. It says he found the place where it was written. And he found Isaiah 61. That's what he was quoting. And this is how it goes. 18th verse. He read this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, rolled it back up, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, that's me. I like that. He found the place where the Bible said about him, and he based his whole ministry on what God said about him. That'd be a good thing for us to do, amen? To base our whole ministry on what God says about us. It really doesn't matter what everybody else says about us. What matters is what God says about us. You know what? It doesn't matter what the world says about the church. I don't go to the world to find out about the church. I don't want to hear what the world thinks about the church. I mean, most of the world's got a messed up idea about the church anyway. They've got all kinds of weird ideas about what the church is about. All that really matters is what God says about the church. Amen? It doesn't matter what you think or I think about the church. What matters is what God says about the church. It always has been, always will be, what God says that matters. And we as International Outreach Church are always going to do what God says, as best as we understand it, as best as we know it, as best as we see it. And we're always subject to what God says. Are you with me? And I'll tell you, we've come a long ways, and we're going to keep going further. Amen? We've just scratched the surface what God has in store for us. But, you know, when you look into it and you see what it's all about and you see what Jesus did here, it always involved others. It always involved somebody else. It was always touching other lives and reaching out further. You know, you don't want to get stagnant. Now, I got a book years ago. Just to give you the title. It tells the whole story. It says, it was outgrowing the ingrown church. Because if you're not careful, the church just gets so ingrown. It's so in-house oriented. It's always thinking about church service, ingrown, inside. And all that's important, but that is a means to an end. That's not an end. The ultimate end and goal of everything is to reach out. And that's why we get excited when people come. And Nathaniel came down here and gave his life over to God, renewed his commitment and dedicated to God Sunday morning. My God, I'm telling you, those are the things I remember. That makes me go home and feel like I've done some good. Come on. I mean, I look at Justin. I know we've done some good. You know, Tommy went out and Tommy's just being kind. Went over and helped Justin cut a tree down. He saw him struggling with a tree. He had trouble with a tree, didn't you? It never has been that much trouble with trees, but he was having trouble with this one. He cuts trees down. I mean, that's what he does. Tommy said, I've got to go over and help him. And he went over there and wound up striking a conversation up with him and ministering to him and witnessing to him, got him to come to church, and the rest is history.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And, I'm Frank and Ken. I think about them going to the prison this last weekend. Of course, Fred and many others go. Fred heads that up and goes all the time. It's about people. You ought to pray God to help you touch somebody's life. Really. There's nothing like it. It's nothing like it. I'm just a blubber baby. The older I get, the worse I cry. But I cry at things like that. You know, you can't get me to cry about some things, but some things you can't stop me from crying. So here Jesus, we see five classes of people that he's talking about. He's talking about the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the blind, the oppressed. I mean, think about it. They're out here today. They're in the world today. Brother Osteen used to always say that, we're here to help suffering, sighing, dying humanity. And he says we're to reach the unreached and tell the untold. And there's somebody that needs you. Somebody needs what you've got. Now, ultimately, they need Jesus. But we're carriers of Jesus. We have a good infection. Yeah, and if you get around enough people, they'll catch it. Because it is contagious. But like anything that's contagious, you got to get around people for them to catch it.
Amen.
So it's like a good infection. In fact, no one ever got it unless they got it from somebody. You ever think about that? I didn't get saved until I got around somebody to tell me about Jesus. And then I got infected. And I've been a carrier ever since. It's something you don't ever want to get cured of, okay? It's something you want to carry all your life, this Jesus infection. You know, it is infectious. It really is. And so to spread it, you got to get around people to spread it. And if you get around them, it'll get on them. Some people are a little slower to catch it than others. Their immune system's real high. I've been around people who have high tolerance, but... But after several years, they get it. Finally, it just breaks down. They finally catch it. Hallelujah. But it's about here, and you see here in Jesus' ministry, it's about making a difference. It's about making a change. It's about helping other people. It's about serving. You know, Jesus talked about those that wanted to be the greatest. His own disciples asked about who's going to be the greatest. He says the greatest is the one who serves, is the one who ministers. And he emphasized the point at the upper room. You remember when he took the towel out and washed their feet? Remember that?
Yeah.
He did that right before he was crucified. That was right before they abducted him. That was the night he was betrayed. And he said, what you've seen me do, you do to others. And what he meant was serve others. I heard a statement this weekend I thought was pretty good. We want titles and God's just handing out towels. Everybody wants a title, but God just wants to give you a towel to go wash somebody's feet with, to go help somebody with. And really what God has given us, he's given us to help others with. This Spirit on Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Why was the Spirit of God on him? to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. I'm telling you, God has raised up this church and every church as far as that's concerned. He has blessed us. He has blessed us. He has brought us to this day, to such a time as this, to reach more people than we ever reached before, to make a bigger difference and a greater impact in our community, in our world, than we ever have before. We now, at this junction of the road, 25 years of, you know, serving Jesus here, we now have more influence. We do. We have more influence in our community than we've ever had. Ever. Because we've been here longer. We don't want to mess it up. We want to keep helping people and keep loving people and keep lifting people. Because that's the business of the kingdom. That's the business we're in. Amen. And so we've got to be thinking and praying. God, help me. Show me how, ways to do that. You know, I don't want to get locked in, because you can get locked into all kinds of, you know, just locked in ways of doing things. And there's some things that won't change. There's some things that do change. I mean, come on, that's just the way it is. Our church has changed little by little over the years. There's some things that hadn't changed about the church, and some things that have changed. You never compromise the message. You never compromise our conviction, holy living, all those kinds of things. But a lot of things do change. We've gotten television lights and got on television. We're into a new world now, you know. Hello. I mean, the old reel-reel just doesn't cut it anymore. No cassette tapes. We don't even hardly make them. We've got them. Hardly anybody ever asks for a cassette tape anymore. We do CDs and DVDs, you know. And then we got our television channel that we reach out. We reach missions all around the world. I think it's awesome. Hello. New ways. Just innovative ways. Just technology. That's one thing that we've added. You know, our songs change. That's always going to happen. When we started the church, all of our songs were new to everybody in town. I think about that. Everybody sang hymns. Goodness. And yet, if we still sang those songs that we sang 25 years ago, they're outdated. Yeah. Hello. And the hymns, as good as they are, and thank God for them, they were barroom songs when they came out. If you don't realize that, you hadn't done much study on church music. A lot of the church songs we sing today, or some of the hymns we sing, they took barroom songs, put Christian words to them so they could reach their generation. And thank God they did. Great songs, great words, great music. Are you with me? So, you know, what's it all about? It's all about reaching people. That's what we want to do. We want to reach and speak to our generation, where we are. And then there's a balance. You want to minister to everybody, because you don't want to just tell everybody over 50. You know, you just, you know, go make your barrel plans. We're just going to minister 50 and under. No, you got to minister everybody. Yeah. Hello, and that takes tremendous wisdom to do that. Turn to Acts 10. But you never throw away your vision. You understand your purpose and your call and the cause of Christ, which is other people. And I'll tell you, when somebody gets saved, it always brings it back home, doesn't it?
Amen.
That's what it's all about. I mean, when I go home on Sunday, somebody got saved. Are you kidding? I am higher than a kite. I am, because really, that's, oh man. I mean, I'm looking for the day where every Sunday somebody gets saved. Every service somebody gets saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Hello. Or filled with the Holy Ghost or something happens. You know, somebody gets touched. And of course, I realize things are going on all the time that we don't always see, because I hear people, they'll say, oh, that ministered to me. People with tears in their eyes a lot of times will come. You spoke to me. The Spirit of God touched my heart. There was something going on in my life. And a lot of that goes on. It's not public. I understand that. But we want to minister to people. We want people to come in these doors and be arrested by the Spirit of God. Really. You, me, and everybody else. Are you with me? I mean, for this short time that we have here, this hour and a half totally with worship and word and everything, that's it. You know, you come in here, you got all your lives you live. I live my life. We do all that. We come in here, we ought to just focus. Just block everything else out, and let's let God work on us.
Amen.
And arrest us. Mm-hmm. And work on our spirit. Work on our head. Hello. And change us. You know, change us. God, change me. I need it. I need church. You know, I love church. I love it. I love coming to church. It changes me. It keeps me straight. It keeps me focused. Without it, I lose my focus. I just, you know, people ought to love church. You ought to love church. You ought to love this building, this place. I'm not, there's nothing holy about the walls, but it's a place dedicated to the Lord. It's a place you can come where you're safe, okay? A place you can come and you can get healed up.
Yep.
And you can get charged up.
Yes.
See, and you can find out how to live. Uh-huh. There's a whole world full of crazy people out there that don't know how to live. Great mass of unthinking people. You come to church, you find out what it's all about.
Yeah.
You find out what life's all about. The things that really matter, the things that really count. Get your focus right. Amen?
Amen.
Acts 10. Found it?
Yes.
Here, it just really, in a nutshell, reiterates what we just read over there in Luke 4 about Jesus' ministry, what he's about, ministering to people. Peter is preaching a message. He's preaching a message to the Gentiles. First time he's ever ministered to the Gentiles. I think that's kind of dumb. I don't think we realize what was going on here. God had to supernaturally visit Peter before he would even go minister to any of the Gentiles. He's still just preaching to the Jews. This is the church that's on fire that was birthed, I'll tell you, in the power of God, where the Holy Ghost came down and the 120 spoke with tongues, come out speaking in tongues. 3,000 people get saved. 5,000 people get saved in another service. They are rocking and they are rolling. I mean, this is a church that is on fire. And yet, they're still just ministering to the Jews. For years, they had to work through some things. They had to do some changing because they weren't really ministering to everybody. You say, what? Yeah. This was a pivotal time in the church. This was a crossroads when I think about it. This is when they begin to really reach out to Gentile people. And God raised up Paul to do that. Because the rest of those guys weren't doing it. Think about that. You know, sometimes we do this. We can do the same thing in a church. We can get a church. I've been to churches where it's all young people. Or been in a church where it's all old people.
Yeah.
Or been in a church where it's just all white people.
Yeah.
Or a church where it's just all black people.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen, all that's wrong. Thank God they're meeting and thank God they're getting together and I'm for them and God sure loves them too. Are you with me? But at some point, we've got to get past all that. Where does that come from? What is a white church? A black? What is that? Or will you just say a young church? Or an old church? Oh, come on, man. A church has got old and young and all in between. Should have white and black, should have rich and poor. Well, this is a high society church, or that's a low class church, or oh, come on, man. Everybody should come. Everybody should feel welcome. You ought to be able to sit beside anybody of any class anywhere in church, because church is where all that doesn't matter anymore. Church is where Jesus is Lord. Not all that stuff that we, you know, labels and categories and all that stuff we deal with. Come, you can't get that out of your thinking. I said this the other day, we're open for anybody to come. If you have a lot of money, you can come here.
Yeah.
If you don't have any, you can come too.
Right.
If you've come out of just tremendous, ungodly sin, I don't care. If you'll come, this is a place for you. If you've been good all your life, you're raised in church all your life, and you never smoked a cigarette, drank a beer, told a dirty joke, or even said a cuss word, you can come too. Hello. In fact, you got a better testimony anyway. Oh, come on. We exalt those people. You know, we get somebody up here and give that testimony when they just talk about all the things they went through and all the drugs and the drills and all this. And, oh, God, they got saved. And we just weep and cry. I'll tell you a better testimony is somebody can stand up here and say, you know, God delivered me from all that. Delivered me from drugs, delivered me from prostitution, delivered me from jails. I've never been there, never went there. I was raised in a Christian home. I've known Jesus since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Man, that's a testimony.
That's right.
Now, hey, everybody's got one.
Yeah.
Everybody has a testimony.
Right.
Don't feel left out because someone had a worse background than you did. I mean, it happens sometimes that you're sitting out there and you're going, God, I didn't deliver out of nothing. I remember when I was 10, I smoked a cigarette behind the house. I never did anything. I need to go out there and do something and get delivered from it. No, no. Thank God you didn't go through it. My kids don't have, my children aren't going to have that kind of testimony. They're not going to have the kind I had. Chris never chewed tobacco in his life. Come on. Thank God. Hello. Are you out there? Well, all kinds of people. That's what we're talking about. Jesus came to heal all kinds of people, to meet all kinds of people's needs. A church should look like that. Church should just be filled with all kinds of people. And nobody's looking down on anybody. And nobody's looking up. You know, we're all just in this thing together. Praise God. We're all in it together. I love that. You know, got some really educated people. Got some people not all that educated. I don't, you know, that, come on. Let's get past all that. Now, should we improve ourselves? Yes, I agree. I believe that if you're in you're poor and you're in poverty, I believe you ought to shoot for getting out of it, and you ought to pray God will help you, and we'll pray with you, we'll help you, but we're not going to condemn you. Nobody condemns anybody.
That's right.
Hello. Yeah. And if you're having trouble in sin, we want you to get rid of the sin, get over the sin, and overcome the sin.
Amen.
But we don't condemn. We're not judging. We want you to quit it, and we're against it because it hurts you.
That's right.
But God wants to raise you up. Amen.
Amen.
So Acts 10, found it. I know I'm just rolling in between these verses, but I've got that anointing to go that way. So y'all must really need it. Y'all must really be messed up tonight. I don't know what the deal is. So here's Peter. No, I need it too. Here's Peter preaching to the Gentiles by vision. The Holy Ghost had to arrest him by vision. He wouldn't even go preach to him. And he gets out there. He makes an amazing statement. He says, "Oh, I see now that God wants to save you." What? You finally figured that out after all these years, full of the Holy Ghost, got thousands of people getting saved in your ministry, and you just figured out God loves Gentiles too? That's what he said.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? He was locked in doing things a certain way too, wasn't he? They weren't quite open to everything. Wow. That always amazes me when I read that. But anyway, let's get past it. That's not what I'm teaching on, that part. But he starts preaching to them, and 35th verse, "And every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness, is accepted by him in truth." Let's back up. I've got to read that. 34th verse. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." Wasn't that great? He finally figured that out. Peter, the pillar of the church. And he goes on and begins to preach to them, and he talks about Jesus, 36th verse, "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." And that word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, began both from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.
Amen.
I like that. You know, that was Jesus' ministry. What was it? To go out, do good. To go about doing good. Mm-hmm. See, he was about going about. He was about going out. You know, and all of us go out. All of us work. You know, we got jobs. We got neighborhoods. We got family reunions. We go to the store. All of us touch lives somehow, some way. You know, we ought to just pray, God, give us wisdom and give us favor and open up a door. Every time you go out, there's not going to happen. But, you know, if we're not even open to it, we're not even praying about it, the opportunity never comes. But if you are praying about it and you are open to it, God will begin to open those doors. You'll start looking for that opportunity. It's not a forced thing, because that's not genuine anyway, you know, where you force the issue. But, you know, God will just make ways for that to happen, because it's all about others anyway. That's what we're here to do. We're here to serve. And Jesus says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Oh, hallelujah. Go out and do some good. Be a part of the answer, not the problem. Help people. Lift people. Love people.
Amen?
You know, I heard it said this way. By all means and at all costs and all ways, preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. Amen. If necessary, use some words. Just your kindness and your love and your compassion will open more doors. People start asking you questions. They'll start wanting to know about you. And then now the door begins to open, see. Because you showed some concern for others. Because it's about others. Amen. Who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil. Did you know there's a devil out here? God's not the problem. Never has been, never will be. The problem out here is the devil. And what he does is oppress people. I see people oppressed all the time. I know you do too. People burdened down with things in life. Burdened down in their marriage and their jobs and just living, you know, from day to day in a rut. You know, rut's just, all I've heard, a rut's just a grave with the ends kicked out, you know. Just dying. And, you know, they need to know there's life in Jesus. That there's a better way. There's hope. Hallelujah. You know, not only did you come out, but they can come out too. Praise God. It's nothing like ministering to someone, going through the same thing you went through, being delivered from the same thing, the opportunity, the privilege of them being delivered, telling them they can be delivered from the same thing you went through. Oh, been there. Oh, you know, I had that happen. Isn't it amazing how quick we try to help someone if we have some home remedy? You know how quick we, the most ridiculous things. Oh, what you need is to get a hot Dr. Pepper is what you need to do. You know, or you need to put some lemon in this, or you need some chicken soup. That's what I always had. I tell you what you need to do. You get this, you know, I don't know, you know, ginger root or something. Everybody's got some kind of remedy or, you know, and because we genuinely think that works and we want to help them.
Yeah.
And here we've got the thing they need more than anything when they're depressed and down and so on. Jesus. And His love and His compassion. Serving others. Amen?
Amen.
It's about service. Everybody say service.
Service.
Well, turn to Matthew. Let's just sum this up. Matthew 7. Does this help anybody?
Amen.
I think about our Hallelujah night. You know, really, the thing that just amazes everybody, I think, about Hallelujah night in our community is that we do all that for nothing. Catches their attention that we would do that. And why do we do that? Because we love them. We saw a need and we want to meet it. There is a need and we can help. We have an opportunity to help in that area. And it costs a little money, but you know, people are worth money. I know a lot of churches probably wouldn't spend that kind of money, but we're not a lot of churches. We're an international outreach church. Amen. We do a lot of things a lot of churches wouldn't do. That's okay. I mean, we think out of the box. You know, we think outside of the box in a lot of ways. We're not just locked into where we are. We saw a need, and it started increasing, and we just started increasing the giving. We started giving more to it, making it bigger. I don't know what we're going to do next to make it any bigger than it is. But it's going to happen. I mean, it's already the last 2 or 3 years, it's just been just packed. You know, there's only so much you can do with the area that we have. We're going to have to move it out maybe on the 45 acres and do something bigger. But God will give us wisdom, show us how to do that too. Amen?
Amen.
Here's what Jesus said. In Matthew 7, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is often referred to as the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Amen? I think it's Zig Ziglar. He was a motivational speaker and a Christian. Loves God. Says that you can, if you'll help people get what they want, you can get what you want. And the way to get what you want is to help others get what they want. You can just modify that saying, if you want to really be all you can be, help others be all they can be. Because your success really is going to be determined by how many other people you make successful.
Yeah.
Think about it.
True.
Your Christian life, your purpose in life. You want purpose in life as a Christian? You want to, you know, quit spinning your wheels and feel like you're not doing anything? I'll tell you how to do it. How you can find purpose. How you can help yourself. Go out and help somebody else.
Amen.
And all of a sudden you'll find purpose.
Yep.
And you'll get help. You're battling depression, you're down. Feel like nobody cares, call somebody up. Encourage them. In doing that, you will be encouraged. Give, Jesus said, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. People love a friendly, encouraging, uplifting person. They love to be around people like that. That person will never be without friends. A person that is always interested in others and helping others and lifting others will always have friends. Are you with me? Because we're made that way. See, God made us that way. We're made to need each other, but we're made to help each other to get our needs met. See, God won't forgive you if you don't forgive. Isn't that what it says? Forgive that you may be forgiven. It says He's merciful to the merciful. In other words, if you'll show mercy, He'll show mercy. And I think of, you know, I just mentioned give and it shall be given. Who does God give to? Givers. In fact, He says He gives seed to the sower. We often think, God, give me seed, I'll sow. No, God says, you go sow, I'll give you seed.
Yep. Amen.
He looks for sowers to give seed to. And if you're a sower, He'll make sure you have plenty of seed. You know why we're so blessed in this church? You know why we always have enough? You know why we keep building buildings and buying land and just paying cash as we go? Because we are givers. And God makes sure we have enough because we keep reaching out. That needs never to stop. In fact, we don't need to just not stop it. We need to increase it and look for new ways of doing that. See, we're here to serve. That's what it's all about. It's all about service. In fact, I wrote down the word serve, and I'll say this in closing. Y'all write notes? Everybody got pen, pencil? This is good. I just took the word serve, S-E-R-V-E. I hope I spelled it right because all these words start with that. What does it mean to serve? This is a good question. I just, you know, I like playing around with words and thinking about it and applying it to a message. To serve, S, it means to support others. I think about the word S, it means to support others, to get behind their vision, to help them succeed, to seed into them. Think about that, seed, that's another S word. You seed into them. You support others. You know, our church, we've given money to another building, another church that was going through a building program. We're going to do it again. We're going to do it more than once. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. I think we ought to give an offering to churches that are growing, that are building buildings. You say, what in the world are you talking about? We got our own church. No, no, no. Whoa, wait a minute. This is all the Church of God is what it is. Now, we got a group, we're committed to each other, and we've got International Outreach Church, we're going somewhere with this, and we got our own vision, our own race, but we're part of a big kingdom. We support missions all around the world. Why would we not support another church that's reaching people for Jesus? I'll tell you what will happen when you do that. If you support others, God will make sure you got plenty of support. He always will. Always will. So to serve is to support others. It's to seed into their lives. E, it is to encourage others. See, think about others. Everybody say others. Okay, so when you talk about serve, to serve, you always have to think about others. Because to serve always puts you second, them first. Always puts somebody else first. So you want to, you know, don't you want to succeed? Sure you do. Well, the best way to do it is help others succeed. Don't you want support? The best way to do it is give others support. How many of you want to be encouraged? Encourage others. Encourage others. Give them a call. Say something positive to them and about them. And pat them on the back. Encourage them in what they're doing that's good. Don't encourage their sin, but encourage the good points, the good things they're doing. Say positive things. R, reach out to others. That's vitally important. Don't wait till they contact you. Amen? You reach out to them. That's what outreach is about. Well, we're here. Well, yeah, but see, they're there. Okay? It's like off your seats and in the streets. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. Salt's good, but it's no good long as it's in the shaker. Come on. So we got to get out of the shaker. Yeah. You know, we got to get out of the seat. We've got to reach out. Reach out to others. Mm-hmm. Don't wait till they contact you. V, value others. I think that's vitally important. I've heard John Maxwell talk about valuing others over and over and over. It is so important. If you don't see the value in people, you know what? You need to get saved. All I can say. If you don't see the value in people. People are so valuable. How much? Well, cost the blood of Jesus. I guess that's pretty valuable. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, I guess God puts more value on a soul than He does the whole world. You know, we value everything else and things and all that. And thank God for that. God's, he's not against prospering. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless the church. He wants us to have plenty. But see, it's all about people, though. It's about reaching people. His value is on us. So remember, it cost Jesus' blood to save people. Value others. They're valuable. You say, well, they're so sorry, no good. Well, so were you and so was I before I got saved. You don't even want to go there. You don't even want to think. Listen, you don't even want to know what I was like before I got saved. You wouldn't have recognized me anyway. But if you'd have seen me, you wouldn't have thought I'd be doing what I'm doing now. But God saw value in me. Not only that, let me tell you something. I'll go a step further. God didn't just see value in me. There was a man that witnessed it to me, that saw something else in me. That thought I was worth it. Thank God he thought I was worth it.
Amen.
And because of that, I'm here today.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So value people. And lastly, well, support others, encourage others, reach out to others, value others. And then E, again, I just put elevate others. Put others first. Amen. Elevate them. Don't ever tear down a person. Don't do that injustice to someone. You lift them. Even when you're trying to correct them and help them, don't tear them down. Don't, sorry, you're no good. Don't do that to your children. Are you with me? Now, you can correct your children and you tell them not to do that, that's wrong. But you don't devalue them. And you don't lower them. You elevate them. In fact, if you'll put them up, then God will raise you up. Because whatever you do to others, he'll do to you. I think about this word serve when I think about this scripture in Matthew 7:12 we're looking at here. Whatever you want them to do to you, do also to them. I want to be supported. I want to be encouraged. I want to be reached out to. I want to be valued and I want to be elevated. Sure, nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with me wanting to do better. Well, help people do better and you'll do better. Elevate them and God will elevate you. Put others first. Ask yourself, even when you do something, how will this affect somebody else? I ask myself that all the time, even when we're doing something in the church or when I'm preaching something. It's not about just preaching a good message. I want to know how's that going to affect them.
Yeah, amen.
Am I just kind of, you know, doing my old thing, or is that really going to help somebody? I'm not thinking about how it will affect me. That's the wrong way to go about it. I want to, how's it going to affect somebody else? Will this help somebody? If it will, then that's service.
Right.
That's serving. Amen. And we are here. We're saved to serve.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. How many of you want to serve?
Yeah.
I do too.